I'm Jasmine, a certified transformational coach with over 3 decades of experience helping people realize their goals and host of Coaching Community Changes, a podcast designed to inspire new leaders with stories of community changes and coaching tips.
Hello.
Hello, Frank. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
It's good to hear your voice.
Indeed.
So you're here, and thank you for being flexible. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
You're here because you wrote a book, and you're taking an interesting approach to serving and community engagement in that you're using the proceeds from this book to make a difference, not only in your community, but beyond your community. And the message of the book is one that helps individuals purchasing the book. So this is a situation of win, 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 and times five, because you have 5 charities, as you know, as they're referred to in England, but 5 community engagement projects that you'll be supporting with your book. So share a little bit about who you are and why you chose to write the book.
Wow, now that's a long story. I'll try and keep it short.
Okay.
So about who I am. So I'm Frank Bology Arawo. I'm currently based out of the UK. I was born to people of Nigerian parentage. They came over here to the UK as they did back in the 50s, 60s to study, better themselves and go back to Nigeria. I went back. We all went back to Nigeria in the early 1970s. I grew up pretty much in Nigeria, experienced the good and the not so good of that kind of how things were back then. And then I came back to the UK late 1980s, 1988 actually, to be precise, when I'd finished my university education. And I used the word finish in brackets because I thought I'd finished, but it turned out I hadn't. And I made the decision not to go back to finish off and yet another year of that. So I stayed in the UK and got into IT computers and worked my way up to managing projects. So at the moment, actually, I'm a part-time project manager and a part-time coach, which is an interesting combination in itself. And the coaching part of it comes from my love for working with people and trying to see what it takes to get the best out of people's life and their life experiences. And most of that came from my involvement in spiritual communities, which are mostly churches, which I've been involved with from back in Nigeria, really, for youth organizations. And then as I came to the UK, got involved in church life and got involved in youth work and also Bible studies and Bible outreaches and things of that nature. So I found eventually coaching as a way to empower people into transformation and to experience life in a way that is more optimal than when they're not aware of things we don't get taught in school, the kind right. of elements of how the mind works and how we can transcend the mind in order to get into a place where we can begin to experience what life is really about and enjoy the experience called life with all its ups and downs. So that's kind of me in terms of what I'm doing and kind of where I'm coming from. Now, the book part of it, I wrote the book because actually what I discovered as I started my coaching, I went through a difficult period in my life where I was trying to be economically sound and have what we call residual income, which is money you don't work for, but money that works for you. But I found in that experience, as good as the theory of how you do that was, I found it difficult to actually do it. And I found it so difficult that I ultimately actually almost was bankrupt through what I was doing. And it suddenly occurred to me that something internally needed to be looked at. And one of the things that helped me do that was journaling. So I used to journal quite a bit and write about what I was experiencing, what I was feeling. And those reflections inspired poetry, and the poetry helped me. And when as I began to coach, I realized that the poetry helped my clients to gain insight, and from insight leading to transformation. And I thought, well, you know, a good way to get that out there, so that, because obviously I can't coach everybody, but if I write a book, then that can go out there and that can have far wider reach, as well as help people see the kind of things that I do in case they wanted to work with me. But also I thought, wow, I tell you what, this is a good opportunity as well to make a difference in the world by using the proceeds from the book to fund charities that are already making a difference in the world in different areas that I'm passionate about.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Now, that's a lot. You definitely have had a vein of being a community changer. As someone who, you know, people sometimes think IT is quite different from coaching. But the reality of it is that a good IT individual is also a coach, because you're often helping people who have no understanding of IT to be able to walk through a process that's foreign to them.
Yes, indeed. That is true.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way with technical issues I had, and we had an amazing IT team. So I appreciate the work that you do, and it's often invisible, which is one of the challenges as well, until you need them or there's a problem. You referenced, as we were speaking, one of the charities that are that you are supporting is about water, around water. And I shared with you that a recent study revealed that 2 million people in the United States of America do not have access to fresh running water, and that surprised you. But what was it that, you know, there's so many charities out there. So what was it about the particular charities that you chose that wanted you to, that caused you, I'm sorry, to partner with them?
Right. So that's a brilliant question. So I'll start with charity water. I had personal experience when I was in Nigeria. At a particular point in time, there was no running water where I was living. And I was tasked with the responsibility of actually carrying a container on my head, believe it or not, for what seemed to me to be a couple of miles, but that's how it felt at the time. To go and collect water on a daily basis to bring back to the house so that we could have water for washing clothes, washing plates, and having a wash, if you like. So the hardship of that doesn't leave you easily. Obviously, when I came back to the UK, I recognized that actually it's a completely different life here, and so easy to readapt and readjust and forget those things. Because now we take it for granted and it becomes shock horror. You know, the other day we had a situation where we had no water here and we thought, wow, that's a new one. And it turned out it was the burst mains. And as you know, within half a day, they were on it and it was fixed. And within a couple of hours, we had water back. And it just made me realize how, you know, you take these things for granted. But anyway, charity water, I happened to stumble across a paid, it was a YouTube advert, but a long YouTube, a 30-minute YouTube advert, actually, which kind of charted the story of the founder and how he got involved in charity water, because he experienced firsthand the difficulty of people. I think particularly it was somewhere in Africa that he'd experienced that and recognized people were drinking very dangerous water for their health and decided to do something about it. And he was inviting people to be part of this experience called The Spring, where they could subscribe monthly to give in towards helping people get clean water in the world, because he believed that actually everybody deserved to have clean access to clean water, because it's not just the water. He then discovered that if you have access to clean water, that then also gives you access to opportunities in life that you might not otherwise have, because you're diverting your energies towards trying to get water. You can actually go out there and start things that make a real difference to your life and provide business opportunities. People can go to school rather than going to get water, and so on and so forth. So I just thought, wow, you know, and he's such an audacious goal that he had. Let's make water available to everybody on the planet. And there's a couple of millions of people to go to get there. But going back to your point, I wasn't expecting that any of those people were in America, because America is obviously perceived and seen as a developed nation and would be able to have addressed that across its own lands. Because this particular charity obviously originates from the US, and most of the places they're targeted are either Africa or somewhere in Asia or some other places that are recognized as not quite first world countries.
You know, I think one of the things that happened, and thank you for that explanation, I appreciate it, and it speaks to the power of stories to move people to action.
Yeah.
The reason that I found out about the water scarcity in the United States was during the pandemic, I became very curious about other people's experiences because I realized that I am in many ways insulated. Right. I was able to go to the grocery store, leave my home, go to the grocery store, shop for several items, and walk back within 30 minutes, having access to fresh food, water, no empty shelves. And I listened to an interview about water, because they were saying you should wash your hands frequently and also social distancing if people are exposed. And realized for how many people that concept was both a luxury and foreign. Because people still have water coming out of their pipes that are dangerous to their health. And there are people who have the plumbing, but not the infrastructure within their communities to have access to running water. So when we speak about these safety measures, they are impacted. As you referenced, this gentleman was moved to provide water, something that we take for granted, because when you provide people with water, you provide them with opportunity now to use their time differently. And I believe one of the stories that he told, if it's the same gentleman, was that a young lady from a village had actually committed suicide because something had happened to the vessel. I think she had broken a vessel that was used for transporting water for the family. And the feeling of hopelessness and helplessness was of such. She killed herself.
Yes, it is the same one.
Right? And so, you know, I see people here, we run the water while we're brushing our teeth. We have water running in the streets. I had a friend that was paying $500 a month for water in their grass. And we don't think about what water represents and how rich we are, regardless of what you have in the bank. Having access to water makes you very, very rich. Yeah. So what are some of the other charities that you're contributing to?
So another one is called Lend with Care, and that's what I love about that particular charity is that they allow you to make money available that would otherwise be sitting in your bank, which I suppose these days with interest rates is probably doing not a lot anyway.
Right.
You make that available as microloans to small businesses across the world where people need, you know, a couple of hundred, maybe a thousand, 2,000 to buy supplies to run their business or expand their business. So it's like helping people to help themselves. It's, you know, it's the whole thing about you can give a man a fish or you can teach a man how to fish. So I very much love the ethos of empowering people who in the dignity of the work of their own hands that just need that little bit of an opportunity to the sources and funds to make their world better, but not even just for themselves. They actually also provide opportunities for other people and employ other people in their businesses. So for me, it was something I was very passionate about, and what I love about it is it's such great fun for me to go at the end of the month and go in there and go, hey, look, let's make this money available. And as people are paying it back, you can just send it right back out again to help someone else. And it's just wonderful to hear all the good news stories about how people have managed to use those funds to better their lives and the lives of others. So that's another charity that I'm passionate about helping. Just because, and again, the reach is worldwide, and I'm very passionate about, if we have a global world, then let's make the reach of our philanthropy and empowering people to go worldwide and touch people across the world, especially with the power of the pound being the way it is.
Right.
What we don't consider much here actually goes a long way in a lot of other economies.
Absolutely. And you make an important point that everything we do really does have global impact, whether we recognize it or not. One of the things that we have seen with the pandemic is how much we are connected and dependent on one another. Right? That by helping, really, by helping others, there is a pay it forward, pay it backwards kind of situation that occurs.
Yeah, indeed. And if I may share, actually, something that's just occurred to me. One of the reasons, and I think one of the main learnings, when I mentioned about the difficult situation I went through where I was almost bankrupt, I lost quite a lot of money in a lot of speculative activity, which effectively is just like gambling. Well, let's just call it what it is. Let's say it's gambling for the sake of a better word, because that's ultimately what it was. It's putting money into something, hoping an event goes in a particular direction. And if it does, you're okay. If it doesn't, you're not.
Right.
But ultimately, what I discovered is at the end of that experience, I had nothing to show for all the endeavor because I was sitting in a position of loss. And
yes.
It occurred to me that if I'd taken that money at the beginning and someone had said to me, you know, take, let's say for sake of argument, it was about 50,000 pounds that I lost through that period. If I'd, at the beginning of that experience, someone said to me, hey, Frank, £50,000, what difference can you use to make in the world with this £50,000? And if I'd used it, invested in some lives, then at the end of that moment, even if I was still looking at bankruptcy, here's what I'll be able to say, that there are lives that have been transformed forever because of the investment I made in the lives of other people. And that is true legacy. And I got that from my grandmother, who didn't have much money. She didn't have a job. She relied on allowances from my mom and wherever else people gave her money because, you know, out of love and respect or whatever. But she took whatever she had and she made sure she made a difference in the lives of other people. And 30 years on from when she's dead, we still talk about her. And then it occurred to me that she lives on because of the life she lived and the difference she made in the lives of people. And that is true legacy. So I then discovered that actually it's never too late to start your legacy by making a difference to other people's lives so that your life lives on in the life of others and the stories that are being told are told in the lives of other people. So that is really one of the things really driving my passion to help and make a difference to people. Really.
That is a beautiful story. And such an important thing for us to remember, especially as we come to the end of the year and many people are preparing to celebrate Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and other year-end celebrations and events. And many of these events have gift buying and gift exchange tied to them, which is great. I don't speak against that, but you raised an important point, right? What happens when we start to think about investing in other people? What difference, even if, as you said, you come to the end of the year or you come to the end of whatever that season is and your bank is still depleted, but you know that there are individuals in the world whose lives have been improved because of your investment.
Yeah, it's and what I found was it's so satisfying to know that that has happened. It wasn't satisfying to know I'd lost money and I couldn't say this is the good that came out of it, apart from maybe learning the lessons of it, obviously.
Right.
But from a point to something. And the other thing that really touched me was this idea that if you touch a life, you don't just touch that life, you touch that life and everything that comes after it. So the generations beyond that, you can't undo the good you've done, because that good is already there. It's been invested in that individual. And they're now, they're creating a different context for what they're now creating going forward and the generations that are coming after them. And to me, that's so powerful to be able to have that impact in the life of people.
That is key. You know, each of the things that you shared are about a ripple.
Mm.
One of the reasons I started this podcast was because I was mentally and emotionally exhausted by how Gospel According to the Media was presenting our engagement as human beings.
Mm.
And when I say presenting our engagement, so they seem to have created a concentration on the negative.
Mm.
And that's not to deny how negative things got, because things got pretty ugly.
Mm.
In terms of how people were speaking to each other and about each other.
Mm.
And I thought, no, there are still people who are doing things in the corner of the world that they call home.
Mm.
And if we start talking about it, then people will be encouraged to see that they can make a difference, that they don't have to wait for big amounts. They don't have to wait for a title. They don't have to wait for a following.
Mm.
And what you mentioned just now, you talked about the power of a pound.
Mm.
You know, a pound can feel like a little amount when you go to a shop,
mm.
because it doesn't buy as much as it used to buy. But when you invest it in another community, when you invest it in another individual, even if it is within the UK, or the United States, all right, it has the power to be multiplied greatly, because as you said, when you touch lives, it doesn't stop with that life that you touch,
mm.
right? It has the power to interrupt cycles. It has the power to create hope.
Mm.
So you think about what hope does. Please, you're gonna say something.
Yeah, it's just for you to use the word ripple. There's this poem in the book called The Ripple.
Would you share it?
Sure. There's a quote for it. We're in one of the greatest fields of service, helping others live a fuller life. And I reference that myself because I'm talking about coaching there. So the poem goes, making the world a better place, one person at a time. Once the pebble drops, the ripple starts. No control over how far it goes. That's the way influence grows, completely out of control. Start one now.
Wow. You know, I thank you for sharing that. You know, that closing line, in terms of once it starts, you have no control over how far your influence goes.
Mm.
I'm not sure that we are aware of how influential we are.
Mm. Yeah. And then if you indulge me, that then leads me to the next piece called World Changers.
Please.
I changed the world. In truth, I had no choice. As egg and sperm contrived to seal my fate, how can it remain the same? I changed the world. In truth, does it really matter? For whatever course I take, be it for better or worse, how can it remain the same? I changed the world. In truth, I did try not to. My energy I could not contain. Reaching, touching, transforming, how can it remain the same? I changed the world. In truth, I can choose, showing up fully, embracing all there is. How can it remain the same? I change the world. In truth, we all do. We, the veil of flesh, no longer bearing now at large in stories being told how it was forever changing.
Wow. Your poems are beautiful. Now, Your book is called Dream.
Yeah.
And how many poems do you have in that book?
I have 37 poems in it.
Wow. And these poems were all created by you, correct?
Yes, they're all from different experiences I've had and different things that have occurred to me as I was journeying to live in the life of what I called the dream life, which in itself is a slight oxymoron. But in that when we think of dream, we think of a kind of sleepy, idyllic kind of life.
Right.
And life rarely is ever like that. And it's not so much about controlling the circumstances of your life as it is learning to experience your life for what it is in a way that's more positive than we have done traditionally. And there's another piece, if you don't mind me reading it, which really speaks to that search, which is what I found. And this is the main lesson that came from the experience I had when I went searching for what I called success.
Please read it.
It's called Mythical Beast. Searching for that mythical beast. Without it, I'm told I can't be complete. With all others, I must compete to find that which has been missing of me. Untold harm incurred in its pursuit. Banks emptied, souls vanquished. Once their relationships laid to waste. No rest for the soul that yearns to be filled. Countless people line well-worn paths. Some crawl, some walk, while others fly. United in the seemingly never-ending quest, bent on finding and taming this elusive beast. Come what may, no matter the cost, the promise of utopia fills the drive. This many people just can't be wrong, all hell bent in service of filling the void. Each step I take seems to bring me close. To right before my eyes, it seemed to mutate. Perchance the description given crafted to mislead. I dare not quit failure, the antithesis of what I seek. Some days I arise feeling like this could be the one. Catch up with the beast that fits the bill. But the promised euphoria fails to persist. Like the great Houdini, it eludes my grip. Surrendered to my fate, it never to find. Taming the mythical beast was never mine. Returning home in despair, only to find the beast was always here, and I was it.
Hmm. That's a sobering piece.
Hmm.
It's a sobering piece. Thank you so much, Frank, for sharing your poetry with us, for sharing the ways in which you have chosen to be a community changer, not simply by speaking about ways to change community, but actively engaging and partnering, because that's another way in which we can make change. You may never travel to the places where water has been provided because of your gift, but you are there and you are making a difference. And thank you for sharing ideas of ways in which we too can partner to be community changers.
Hmm.
One closing thought from you in terms of if people want to get involved, so people have heard what you're doing, if you were to share with an individual who says, I want to make a difference in my community, what is the first thing you would suggest they begin doing?
I think I would suggest that they start where they are and find out what it is, what gifts has them. Because I don't even like saying people have gifts. The gift has you, because the gift is there in your life, has chosen you to be a medium through which it would be expressed. Find whatever those gifts are. And find a way that you can use it to begin to make a difference to other people in whatever shape or form that is. And from that place will come the inspiration for other ways in which to continue to extend and reach beyond just the self. Because we all coming from the same source are serving ourselves through serving others. And if we make community better, we are better for it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to share your information with the audience in the podcast notes. Again, wonderful speaking with you. Appreciate what you're doing and the ideas that you've shared with us this afternoon.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. And just to give a final plug, that if people buy the book, they'll be making a big difference around the world. So I just encourage people to do that and to experience the book for the transformation it provides for them as well.
Great. Well, the link to the book will be in the notes so that people will be able to purchase the book and make a difference through partnership.
Thank you for the platform and the opportunity to share. And I really enjoyed our conversation.
Likewise, Frank. Always good speaking with you.
So glad you were able to join us and look forward to having you tune in next week when I share my platform with another community changer. Until then, how will you use the information learned this week to take action and become a community changer also?